Welcome. Thanks for checking out Greenwood Community Church of the Nazarene. I'm Michael Costello, the lead pastor here, and I appreciate you taking the time. I hope you find this message encouraging and challenging. If you haven't already, check out our website, gcnaz.church, and get all the information about us. We look forward to seeing you soon. Welcome in. I'm Pastor Michael, the lead pastor here at Greenwood Community Church of the Nazarene, and we are glad you have joined us for the message today. Today we are going to conclude our series that we've been in, Our Church, Your Home. We'll get to that in just a second. Just a few announcements I want to share with you as we get started. First of all, our first announcement, it's going to be on the screen for us. We have our men's cornhole tournament happening tonight from 4 to 6 at the church. It's going to be a great time for any guy that's 12 years of age and older. And we're going to have a chili dog supper with some drinks. We're asking all the guys to bring something to share for dessert, some sweet treats, and we'll have a good time playing some cornhole together. Also, coming up here in just a little bit, next Sunday, we have our town hall meeting to discuss the future of our building and specifically, what are we going to do about replacing our youth building that burned down back in May of last year? And so we're going to talk about some of those things. It'll be right after service from about 12 to 12:45, and the board will be here along with myself to answer questions about that. So that's coming up. Also, on the 14th of February, we have our Ash Wednesday service at 6:45. We're going to eat like normal at 6 o'clock. And then we'll all come in here and have service together, our Ash Wednesday service, and it's going to be a powerful, great way to start your Lenten season, your Lenten journey with us. And Lent will go from February 14th until March 31st on Easter Sunday. So we're going to have a good time doing our series for Lent, Abide With Us, that'll start in a couple weeks from today. So that's exciting. Be ready for that. Also, Alabaster is coming, and this is a big thing that we do twice a year. We do it in February, and we do it in October, and it's an opportunity for us as the church to help build church buildings, hospitals, schools, even nursing homes. I mean, we colleges. These funds go to the Church of the Nazarene to build buildings all across the world, and it is a great program, and so it's a way that we do that. There are some boxes out in our foyer. You just collect one of those boxes, fill it with change and loose dollar bills that you got. And February 25th will be the last day that we will collect the Alabaster offering. So for all the month of February, you can bring those boxes. We have a church box right here on the offering table. And you can bring that and put your offering box in the big box there, the church building box. And we are excited to give for Alabaster. Also, final announcement, senior adults, we've been talking about this for a few weeks. We have the senior adult hymn sing at Due West Mennonite Church coming up in just a few weeks on Sunday, February 25th at 5 o'clock. There's going to be a sign up and some details coming soon, but it is going to be a great time and a great opportunity for us to sing some hymns with our brothers and sisters in the Mennonite Church. So plan on attending that event soon. All right, well, let's dive in. Church communities are supposed to be strong family units. Let me say that again. Church communities are supposed to be strong family units. Being a part of GCNAZ, Greenwood Community Church of the Nazarene, means you are part of a bigger family. When I started interviewing for this position in the spring of last year, all the way till now, 6 months in, there has been a recurring message that I have heard from our people. This church is a family. We are a strong family unit. It's what people love about this church so much. It's, as we said last week, it's one of the things that defines us. Compared to other churches in our community, we revere them, we love them. But the two things that set us apart is holiness, our belief in holiness and holy living. And then the second thing is our family unit that we have here, the strong family unit that we have at GC NAS. The Apostle Paul called the church the body of Christ. Look what he writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 12. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, that doesn't make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I do not need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. You see, what Paul is trying to tell us here is that all parts of the body of Christ, all parts of the church, are important. And in fact, they're necessary. The person who picks up the trash that you never see is just as important as anyone who sings or me as a preacher. They are all important. There are things that you don't see during the week, people coming and putting things together and doing things and setting things up and all of those things that happen in the background that no one ever sees. The guys who come and cut the grass and take care of our bushes and weed and all of those things. Again, we don't see that. We see the results of it. They're just as important as anybody else. And at GC NAS, each of you plays a role in the functioning of our local church. Everybody has a role to play. God has a purpose for you in our church. GC NAS is one of many church communities that God uses to reveal himself to the greater Greenwood area. Again, we don't believe that we're somehow better than other churches. We really don't. We honor, we revere other churches and the work that they are doing. But God has called us to a specific mission, and that's what we're going to talk about today. This morning, we're going to look at four areas that you can plug in to serve our church and the mission that God has given us. It doesn't matter what other churches in Greenwood are doing. It doesn't. God has called us to a specific purpose, a specific mission, a specific vision for what he wants us to do. And we all have a role to play in that vision, in that mission that God has given us. The first area we're going to look at is our commitment to personal spiritual growth. Ever since I stepped foot on this property as your pastor, I have been preaching consistently, and this will not change, that our spiritual growth, our personal spiritual growth, is number one. We cannot be what God wants us to be as a church if we as individuals are not growing in our personal relationship with Christ. Here at GC NAS, we put a strong emphasis on growing deeper in our relationship with Christ. And there are many avenues to help us grow deeper in our faith in our church. First and most importantly, being deep in God's Word and having a deep prayer life is step one to growing your faith. Again, this is not news. This is something that I certainly have been preaching for a long time. Pastor Bill preached before I got here as the interim. Pastor Glenn before that. Pastor Tommy, for sure. This is something we believe. Being in God's Word and being deep in prayer and having a deep prayer life, an intimate prayer life with our Creator, is step one. Second, you need to have someone who can hold you accountable in a positive way. We're not looking for people to just criticize us, right? No one wants that. But we each need somebody in our lives who can hold us accountable for the ways that we act, the behavior we display, the things we say, the things we do. Someone who will love you enough to tell you when you're in the wrong. This is something that the world has gotten wrong. We don't, in our culture, want people criticizing us in any way, shape, or form, good, bad, or otherwise. Criticism is a bad thing in our culture, but let me tell you, I would challenge you, criticism is actually a good thing. It's how we learn. It's how we grow. If no one tells us we're doing something wrong, then I guess we're always right, which makes us feel good, but the reality isn't that, right? We can think that, people can tell us that, but that doesn't make it true. So we need to have somebody who's going to hold us accountable. Third, you need to commit to being a part of a community group. We have lots of opportunities for adults, particularly when it comes to community groups. Community groups are a place where you can learn and dive deeper into your faith with other believers. Deep Bible study, discussion. We offer age-appropriate community groups on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. and on Wednesday nights after family worship at 7 o'clock. Our kids have the opportunity to be a part of community groups. Our youth, our students, they have an opportunity for community groups. And us as adults, we have lots of options. We have the Sunday Rewind for men and women on Wednesday nights. It's a great opportunity to dive in and really digest what we talk about on Sunday mornings in the sermon. And our Family Matters group, which is for young parents, we do the same thing on Wednesday nights, a sermon rewind. It's a great time, again, for us as young parents to come together and talk about the sermon. It's very low stress, just discussion. And then Sunday morning, we've got opportunity for some deep Bible study. We've got John Aller's class, where they're always studying something deep in their class. Or Chris or the other teachers who teach topics for today in our choir room. Again, deep topics, deep ideas, things that we need to know and understand as Christians. We have our Lamplighters class for senior adult ladies. We've got our Hispanics group that's Fei y Familia that meets right over here. Great opportunity for, if you are a Hispanic speaker, it's a great opportunity for you. And then, of course, we got Family Matters for our young parents again. Second opportunity every week, led by Kathy and Wells, who, by the way, awesome, awesome leaders. Love having them as our Family Matters teachers. So get plugged in, commit to being a member of a community group. Finally, to continue to grow spiritually, you need to be in church. Now, as you know, if you've been watching these videos for any length of time, you know that these are not live. These are recorded. Today happens to be the Thursday before Sunday that we're recording this. That sometimes is different. It depends on the week. But if you can be in church, you need to be in church. I'm going to hold you accountable to that a little bit here, because there are some of you who watch online and almost never step foot in this building. And can I tell you, you need to step foot in the building. Being a part of this community means you need to be here, present, with our people, with our family. It's important. Worshiping with fellow believers is a huge part of growing our faith. Hearing the word spoken each Sunday morning in person is an encouragement to all of us. I'm not saying that when you watch online, as you are now, that this isn't helpful to you, but the truth of the matter is there is something different about being in the room. There's a different sense and feeling when you have believers around you. And being a part of a message given by a pastor is an opportunity for us to be challenged in our faith, right? That's my goal every Sunday morning, is to challenge you. I'm not here to mollycoddle you. I'm not here to placate to you. I'm here to tell you the truth of God's word. That's what I'm here to do. When Pastor Tommy preaches or we get a guest preacher to come in, I tell them, I want you to tell our people truth. I'm not looking for them to make you feel good in your insides. They're here to tell you truth. All right, let's look at our second area. We need to have a commitment to ministry. So the first one was a commitment to spiritual growth. This one is a commitment to ministry. Let's explore that for a second. As we talked about last week, the Bible defines the church as the body of Christ. And the body of Christ, as Paul put it, is made up of many parts, as we read earlier. We all have a role to play. As I said before, no one role is more important than another. So the elephant in the room with this is the feeling that the preacher or the worship team or the board are more important because either they're more visible, if it's, you know, preacher or worship team, or they're in a higher authority position because they're on the church board. The reality is that everyone is equal in importance in the ministry life of this church. The board couldn't do what the board does without us as the church family. I, as your pastor, can't do what I do without you. I could have all the vision and direction and guidance for our church in the world. God could give me wonderful wisdom, but if I don't have people to actually do it, it doesn't really matter, does it? And the worship team's the same. I can tell you that I've led worship in a empty room before. It is a lot different than when you have full seats. And all the worship team members were like, yep. It matters. We play off of each other. We need each other. We all have a role to play in seeing God's kingdom expand. And that's our goal as a church. So you need to find a place to serve within the church. I've been telling you a lot of things that you need to do. You need to find a place to serve within the church. Everyone has unique gifts and talents and abilities. All of you do. Listen to this parable that Jesus tells in Matthew chapter 25, 14 through 30. Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earned 5 more. So he started with 5, he ends up with 10. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. So he went from 2 to 4. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give account of how they had used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward and with 5 more and said, "Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 5 more." The master was full of praise. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." The servant who had received the 2 bags of silver came forward and said, "Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 2 more." The master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." Then the servant with the 1 bag of silver came and said, "Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate." That's not a really good way to talk to your boss. "Pastor Tommy, just FYI, take note. That's not how you talk to your boss. Just he's giving me a thumbs up, so just want to make sure we know that. I was afraid that I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here is your money back." The master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant." Oof, this is harsh. "If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it." Then he ordered, "Take the money from the servant and give it to the one with the 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now this was about money, right? But I would argue this is not just about money. In other versions of the Bible, it's called talents. This is the parable of the talents. Talent was actually an amount of money. We don't use that word that way anymore, but it does apply to our talents. If God gives you a talent, a skill, an ability to use for his kingdom work, and you choose not to use it, do you think God is happy with you? God wants you to use your talents and abilities for his kingdom work. We are not called as Christians to come to church and sit on our hands, listen to a sermon, and go home saying, "Oh, that was nice." That's not what this is about, folks. That's not what GC NAS is about. We all need to get to work. If this church is going to grow, if God is going to do something, if there's going to be a harvest, we need to get to work. And that means all of us. We all have a role to play. So we need to be committed to ministry, serving in any area that God calls us to serve in. The third area is our commitment to consistent giving. In the next week, we're going to talk about the future of our church at our town hall meeting. And part of this future for us requires committed believers who are committed to giving generously. And I can tell you, our church is committed to consistent giving. But for some of you, this may be a call to action. One of the other areas of spiritual growth for us is making a commitment to tithing to the church. God blesses us with so much. When you look at it as an American Christian, we have been blessed richly. And God calls us to give back to his church a small portion of what he has blessed us with. A small portion. Listen to what the prophet Malachi writes in Malachi 3:10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. The storehouse is the church. Let me be clear. The storehouse is the church. This is where the phrase storehouse tithing, you may have heard, if you've been in the church a long time, that's a phrase you may have heard. That's what it means. Storehouse tithing, it comes from here. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open up the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Put me to the test. This is the only place in Scripture where you'll find God say, put me to the test. Now, am I saying, are we a prosperity gospel where, like, if I just give this much money, then God's going to bless me and I'm going to be rich? No. This doesn't say in Malachi that you're going to be financially wealthy. You're just going to have blessings that you don't even know what to do with. Those blessings can be all kinds of different things. But here's the thing. If you commit to consistent tithing, 10% of your wealth, tithe means 10%. We call it the first fruits, meaning it comes off the top. It's the first thing that you give to every pay period. If you put God to the test, he's going to bless you. Again, the storehouse is the church. God asks us to tithe to make sure that his kingdom work can continue. I know we don't like to talk about this. We don't like talking about money, but here's the dirty truth. The church can't function without money. We can't. We need money. We've been talking about maybe getting a church van someday. Can't do that without money. We want to replace our youth building. Can't do that without money. We want new things and wonderful things, new sound equipment or whatever the case is, new carpet. Can't do it without money. Money is necessity. And in order for God's kingdom work to continue, we need to make sure we're tithing as a church. Tithe, again, is 10% of our first fruits. If you need to get some help on how to be a consistent tither, come talk to me. I'd love to help you with that. And I'm not going to be judgmental. I'm not here to nitpick you. I'm not here to say, well, you didn't give 10% here, so you're a bad person. Like, that's not going to happen. My job is to come alongside you and help you. This is in between me and you. This is between you and God. Now, the question may be asked, well, what about our leaders? Do they tithe? I will tell you this. No board member will ever be on the board if they are not a tither consistently. They have to have skin in the game. That's important to me. It's my role to make sure that the people who are leading you are invested in the game, so to speak. All right, so commitment to personal spiritual growth was the first one. Commitment to ministry was our second one. And then we just talked about commitment to consistent giving. Here's our fourth section today. Commitment to sharing your faith. We as a church are committed to sharing the gospel, the truth of Christ. You need to be bold in your faith, sharing God's story, and helping the church build God's kingdom. And I say you need. It's not a should. It's not a you can. You need to be doing that as a Christian. That is part of the thing of being a Christian. God gives us the opportunity to be His instruments for sharing His story with the world. God may not need us, and He doesn't. But He chooses to use us, church. And that is a big deal. That is a big deal. And again, at GC NAS, we're committed to that. Again, you've heard me preach this a lot because I believe it to the core of who I am. We are called to share God's story. The church, His people, is the main way that He shares His truth and His story with humanity. Do you want to be a part of this? Again, GC NAS is committed to being God's hands and feet. As I begin to close, I want to remind those of you who have been here a while, and let those of you who are newer know of our church's vision statement. First, we want to see people awaken to God's presence in their lives. As a church, we want to awaken people to God's presence in their lives. Second, we want to engage people in authentic community. Awake, engage, and finally, we want to reach out to people with God's love. That means sharing our story. That means compassionate ministry, loving people. Greenwood Community Church of the Nazarene is an authentic community of believers that is known for its love of people. That's what we're known for. We may not get everything right. We don't. We may be dysfunctional at times. We are. We may even look or smell funny sometimes. Pastor Tommy is one of them. And he's shaking his head at me and smirking. But the truth of the matter is that this congregation strives to fulfill Jesus' commands to love God and to love other people. That's our goal. It's our mission. It's who we are. It's in our DNA. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us Greenwood Community Church of the Nazarene. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of this church, this congregation. Father, help us to be your hands and your feet. To be your voice, to speak your truth and your story so that your kingdom may expand. Father, thank you for allowing me to be a part of this community, to be their shepherd. And I believe you have greater days ahead than we've ever seen before. All we need to do is commit to those four things. Personally growing in our spiritual life, our relationship with you. Growing in our commitment to ministry, to serving here at the church. Our commitment to tithing and giving back the resources that you've given us so that the church can do its work. in our commitment to sharing the gospel. Father, if we do those four things, you are going to do enormously more than we could ever do ourselves. Father, continue to work to build your kingdom through us, even if we're imperfect. Pray this in your name. Amen. Amen. Well, have a great week, and we will see you next week. Thanks for tuning in.